This afternoon, we're going to look at the responsibility, as you can see from the responsive reading. The last message talks about the occupation of the land, how the adults must be courageous to lead the younger generation so that they will not fail God to occupy the land. But this time, after occupation, remaining in the land of promise is another matter. So this afternoon, these four verses will teach them how they can remain in the land. Now look at what the land is supposed to be if they were to follow the instruction that God has given to Israel, especially to the adults, from verse 18 onwards. Now you look at the last few words of verse 21. Now do you think that this is possible in our homes? Do you think this is possible in our church? You look at the last few words of verse 21. What does it say? As the days of heaven upon the earth. In other words, Israel as a nation was able to exist on earth as if they are living in heaven. Now on earth, in the nation of Israel, you have the presence of God, the home of God, in the form of the tabernacle at this time. Later on, it will be in the form of the temple in Solomon's time. So the presence of God is not an issue. God is there. And God has provided the means whereby Israel is able to access into the very presence of God through the Levitical sacrificial system, where they can deal with their sins, where they can live a holy life. And therefore, God said, this is what Israel, the only nation, no other nation, can have. That if you do what God says in verses 18, 19, and 20, and the first part of verse 21, after you occupy this land of promise can be to you like heaven. And you and I know what heaven is like from the books of the New Testament in particular. It is a place of peace, it's a place of tranquility, it is a place where the Word of God reigns, where holiness reigns. This is what God intended Israel to experience on the earth. Now, this is possible by way of application in every Christian home, where everyone in the home is a Christian. If you as parents are Christians, you can bring the children up in a manner whereby your home can be like heaven on earth. And this is also true of our church, because our church today has taken over Israel as a visible manifestation of God's witness on this earth. And therefore, what you and I study in the Old Testament that pertains to Israel, if we were to follow, it can become ours as well. So in other words, what we have in this church, if the adults were to comply with what God teaches in verses 18, 19, and 20, we can also experience and enjoy, as it were, heaven on this earth. Now, do you want heaven on earth? Yes or no? Do you want heaven on earth in your home? Yes or no? This is what you must do. This is your responsibility as adults to bring this to pass. After you conquer the promised land, you have to do this, and then you can be called home to glory. And I hope that this is going to be your desire as well. Because if this is not going to be the goal and the desire, the responsibility that you have will not last. Because we all have responsibilities, whether you like it or not. And as adults, as parents in particular, you have responsibilities that you ask for it, and God has bestowed it upon you, and God says, this is what you are to achieve. And you can, if you follow the instruction that God has given to us, from verse 18 onwards. And so the first thing you and I are to bear in mind concerning the responsibilities of all adults is the responsibility to yourself. That's what verse 18 says. Before you can talk about verses 19 and 20, that is the responsibility to children, you have to make sure of your own self first. Because if you are not taken care of, then you can't take care of your children. This is very simple logic, isn't it? Now, how should you take care of yourself? Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words. Now, this is after the occupation of the land. After they have entered the land, which God described, is the land that I will take care of. I will provide the water, I will provide the rain, I will provide the growth, I will provide the fruits, the food. When you enter, I will take, it's a special land, it's the land of promise. But then what are your responsibilities after the land? Now I can provide the land, I can provide the environment, I can provide the physical, but the spiritual part, God says, you have to do it. And I will provide you all the tools whereby you can succeed in accomplishing it. So God is not asking the adult Israelites, after the conquest of the promised land, after they entered the promised land, to do something that He has not already equipped them to accomplish. Just as we too have been equipped to accomplish the same result. So you ask yourself, is my home heaven on earth? Is it heaven on earth? Not hell, heaven on earth. Okay, it's possible. You see, verse 21, the days of heaven upon the earth. So it's not wishful thinking, it is a reality. It is a practical reality. So how should you take care of yourself to make this a practical reality at home? Now imagine if every Christian home, now I know that some of us are children where parents are not believers. We have parents who are not believers. But you as adults, and I hope that you are all Christian adults, this chapter is very pertinent. If it is through the whole congregation as a whole, you may have young people where parents are not believers, this will be difficult for them to apply. But to all of you, you are adults, and if you are a family man, you have children, this is not an impossibility. This is supposed to be your heart's desire. And I hope that this is going to be your heart's desire that will sustain this responsibility that you have to comply. So verse 18, take care of yourself. How to take care of yourself? God says, this is what you must do. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. So the first thing you have to do is to lay up. The word lay up is to set. It is an act that has to be deliberate. It is like a person taking something and then he puts it into something or onto something, like onto a table. It doesn't just go there by itself. You have to deliberately take hold of it and then place it down. And the Bible tells us that this thing is the Word of God. My words, God says, lay it in your heart. Now we thank God that we have a good emphasis on the memorization of God's Word. And I hope that you will encourage your children to memorize God's Word. But please don't think that memorization of God's Word is pleasing to God. Memorization of God's Word is not pleasing to God when it is not laid upon in the heart. It has to be in the heart. And then in the soul. And then not only that, you have to bind them as a sign upon your hand and then as frontlets between your eyes. So four parts of the adult's human body is mentioned. His heart, his soul, that means his very innermost being, his entirety. The person, the soul that is the real you. Okay, not this physical body, the real you that is the one, that part of you that will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. This entire being, the real person, this physical being that we see, we handle, we touch, is not the real you. The real you is invisible to the naked eyes. And that part of you is where the Word of God must also be found. Lay it in your heart and in your soul. That is the verb. And then for the hand is another verb that is to tie together. And then the time part is to the hand and then also the frontlet between the eyes. Now first, the heart. Memorization of God's Word must first also include, must be accompanied by explanation and understanding. And so I hope Elder Chu, when he leads us, she must explain. You must explain every verse, because I don't think some of them will take the trouble to go home and find out the context. And some of them, when they find out the context, it may be the wrong context and they understand it wrongly, also in danger. So it would be good if you explain the verse that they have just memorized, so that they will now memorize it in its correct context, so that they can apply it correctly. Very important. Apply it. In the heart means you obey it. That's what it means. In the heart means obedience already. Heard or memorized, that's for sure. You have to memorize. Remember, in Israel, in those days, they don't have the Bible with them in their hands. Please understand this. They don't have this privilege that we have, whereby the Bible is carried with us everywhere we go. It's in your phone. And you carry your phone everywhere you go. So whenever you want to find something about the Word of God, from the Word of God, you just take it out, press a few buttons, and voila, the Bible appears. And then in your Bible, you have your concordance, and that is our Achilles heel. Too easy to find stuff from the Bible, so much so that hardly do we exercise our brain. Our brain is occupied by a lot of worldly junk, you know. No more space, you know. No more room, no more gigabyte for the Word of God. And so we take the Bible out and we put it in our handphone. And so we think that because it's in my handphone, God is very happy with me because I carry my Bible everywhere I go. God is not happy with you even if the Bible is in your head when it is supposed to be in your heart. When they hear the Word of God, they have to hide God's Word in their heads. Do you know that there are Orthodox Jews, even today, they memorize the Word of God. And then they have a competition to see who can recite word perfect the fastest. And when they memorize, they don't memorize the way that we do. If they see us memorize, they will laugh at us, they will pity us. Do you know that? Do you know how they memorize? They memorize the book of Psalms. 150 of them. Imagine, for us, the thought of memorizing Psalm 119, we give up. It's like us trying to run the marathon. The thought of running 42 kilometers, give up. Right? To us, 150 Psalms is an impossibility. It's easier for me to go to the moon than to memorize 150 Psalms. True? True or not? I think this is how we are, our mind is like that, you know. Because the Bible is too easy for us. What's the point of memorizing? If I want to find any word, any phrase, anything, I just type in the concordance, press a button, prom, everything comes out, right? Isn't it? So what's the point of memorizing? Other things I memorize, but this one, I never mind. You see, that's our problem. For them, they have no Bible in their hands because it's hand-copied, it's too expensive. The people who have the written word would be the Levites and the priests. They are the guardians, they are the protector. They will hold it in their hands and then they will teach the people. And whatever they teach them, the people have no opportunity to cross-check like the Bereans, you know. And that is why the priests and the Levites have been entrusted with a very, very heavy and serious responsibility. Because the people of Israel will have to trust them 100%. It is a kind of a sacerdotal society. You know what is sacerdotal? Sacerdotalism is the kind of mentality that existed in church history, which we called 1,000 years of dark ages, where the Roman Catholic Church literally monopolized the Word of God, and anyone who translates the Word of God, anyone who is found with the Bible without the permission, will be persecuted and executed. Sacerdotalism means a select group of people, they have the only Word of God, and they are the ones who can tell you whatever they want, and there's no way you can check. In the Old Testament, it was like that. And that's why when the priests are crooked, when the Levites are bad, the people are at their mercy, literally. So if they tell them that this is what God's Word says, they just have to accept it. There's no way they can check. Unless you have another priest who can check one another. Because that's exactly what they had to do in those days. But today, you can check whether this teacher, that teacher says is right or wrong. You can check on the spot. I know that on Sunday night when I spoke on the flood, right, the ice age, Do you know what some of the members who listened to the sermon told me after the sermon? I want to check and find out where you got all your information from. On the spot, they use their phone and they have the internet connection and they check on the spot whether what I said concerning how the Ice Age came about, whether it was true or not true. So this is the society that we're living in. Sacerdotalism is out the window. But in those days, it was like that. And imagine, the parents better learn properly from the Levites and the priests in terms of memorization God's word, and then understand God's word when the priests or Levites explain it to them. And then when they leave, they have to hold the word of God in their head with the understanding together with them. And then they have to go back now, you practice it. You live it out in your life. And that's how it transcends from the head into the heart. And this will be the only way they're going to learn God's word. And then, not only that, now they're going to teach it to their children, verse 19. And so if they learn wrongly, you just imagine what will happen. Now this is the system that God has set for Israel, which God said, if you comply from the heart, it's heaven on earth. For Israel only, no other nation, Israel only. And that is also God's promise to us today in our homes and in the church. No other word of God on planet earth can give us this, only the Bible. All the others are not the word from God. They are all the words of man, all the other religions. But this one, God said, this is my word. If you obey my word, if you literally obey my word that is in the heart, and then in your very being, and then to sustain it and to keep it going, because it is not just in the heart and in your being, which cannot be seen, but in the way that you live. And that's why the hands and the eyes are involved. Bind them together for a sign upon your hand. Now you and I know that what the hands are supposed to be for. The hands are the hands that will do things. The hands that we use for discipline. The hands that we use to comfort. The hands that we use to work in the farm. The hands that you use to sin or to do good. The hands. So after you have God's word inside you, your very being, desire, love the word of God, now you do it. Show it by practical means. Why do you think the Bible describes sometimes, why do you think the King James translators sometimes translate the word in Greek? Agape or agapao, which is the verb, sometimes translated as love, other times translated as charity. The difference is that the context will determine which English word to use. When the context talks about the heart, they will translate it as love. Husbands, loved your wives as Christ loved the church. Agape, agapao love. Heart condition. And then in instances where it is love expressed in action, the word is charity. Same here, likewise. Hide God's word in your heart, fine. But then you must now show it. Do it. Do it. Everywhere you go, don't let your children see you as a hypocrite. Do it in your homes. Husbands and wives, the best thing that you can ever do for your children is to love one another the way that you are supposed to as husband and wives. Relate to one another the way that you're supposed to as husband and wife in front of your children, because that is the best thing you could ever, ever do for them. A loving father and a loving mother. A submissive mother, a loving father. This kind of relationship the children will want to see. They are supposed to see. And this is what they are supposed to see from you. In church, it's the same. As adults, we need to relate to one another in a manner where the younger generation is supposed to see how adults are supposed to relate to one another. Not fight, not bicker, but to care for one another as laborers with God, co-laborers with God, and then we are also the husbandry. We are also the building, just as we are the builder. We serve one another. We care for one another, where we can have heaven on earth in Pandan Church. And the leaders of this church, the adults of this church, will take the lead. You have to, because you have seen more of God's hand in your life because of your experience, your life's experience. when you experience it in your own homes, in the church, you know how wonderful a life it will be? These are the two best places to experience heaven on earth. Out in the world, in your company, in your workplace, it's not possible. In your workplace, it is a place of ministry. It's a place where you fight God's battle, literally. But in your own home, sure, there will be battles to fight, spiritual battles to fight, and so on. But it will be heaven on earth as far as the Word of God in your life is concerned. And this is the only way. If you take out the Word of God, if you don't use the Word of God and you place it with the Word of man, either it is your own ideas or the philosophies from outside of the world, and you put it into, you're going to have hell on earth. And you're going to have hypocrisy on earth. And instead of being the greatest blessings to your children, you can be the greatest stumbling block to your own children. Why do you think there are so few second, third generation Christians in churches today? You ask yourself one simple question. You ask on Sunday, raise your hand if you are a first generation Christian. Raise your hand if you are a second generation Christian. Raise your hand if you are a third generation Christian. Fourth generation. There should be more and more, isn't it? But how come the number will diminish? That should not be the case, because we have the Christ. We have the wonderful Savior. And the children are supposed to see the wonderful Savior in mom and in dad. But instead, they see hypocrisy. They see the devil. Sunday, mom and dad, oh, they pretend so well. When they go back home, I see a different mom, a different dad. How come on Sunday they emphasize spiritual things, and all the rest of the days, all they emphasize are carnality, no spiritual? You send this kind of message to your children, you are in for trouble. In serious trouble. You don't believe, you just take one of our prayer lists. You look under the section where you have grown children that parents have inserted there under not good stuff. You know, they put the names of the children there, pray for their return. They have gone wayward. And many of them have been brought up in church since infancy. What has happened? You don't want your child's name to be in that list, please. While you can still shape them and mold them, whereas these parents whose children's names are there, their time of shaping and molding them are gone forever. It's not going to come back. That's it. And now all they could do is to beg and plead before God's throne of grace to be merciful, to stop their children from loving the world and to come back to the Lord. That's all they can do now. I hope and pray that none of our young children will end up like that, because we have failed them. That's all I want for my children, from the Lord. Please save them and help Angie and myself to lead and to guide them in the way that you want them to go. What do you want them to do with their life for you, O Lord? Please show us that we may lead them and guide them and show them in that direction before the Lord returns or before you take us home. That's all we ask for. Because whatever way God wants for them is the best way. If it includes suffering and difficulty, if that's the best way, so be it. So be it. Because their life is redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not ours. They belong to the Lord. The Lord has saved them just as the Lord has saved me. And so therefore, our duty as parents is to guide them and direct them in the path where God wants them to do with their lives. And one day we will all congregate together in heaven, in the presence of God. But before that, I must take care of myself. I must make sure that I obey God's word. I must make sure that I know God's word in my heart and in my soul, literally in my very being. And then I have to tie it in my hand so that these hands that I use to hurt, to build, to comfort, the hands, it must be done according to God's word. That's why you have to tie them together. The word of God and your hands, tie them together. That's why in Israel, these Orthodox Jews, they will interpret verse 18 literally. And so they will have this box, leather box with a leather strap. And the leather strap will be wound on their arm seven times. Seven is the number of completion. And then these leather boxes, you can buy them from eBay. They are called phylactery. The plastic one, very cheap, maybe about $5. The leather one can set you back about $200-$300. The very expensive, very nice one, there's some gold, there's some silver, very nice, can set you back about $1,000-$2,000. They're very nice. When we were there, we saw the young boys, we saw the old men all tying. One on the hand, the other one on the frontlets, literally, the frontlets of between their eyes. They'll tie. And then they'll insert into this box the word of God. Now, those who interpret it literally, they will walk around doing this. Everywhere they go, you find them. So when they want to do something, they see the word of God there, they are very mindful and careful. If I want to do something that is sinful, I see the word of God there, I better not. That's what they did. Now, of course, there are others who interpret this figuratively. You don't have to literally, actually tie it there. But in your own heart, in your own mind, you've got to remember that these hands, with the word of God in my heart, with the word of God in my soul, these hands are supposed to do what God wants me to do. If it is discipline, these hands will discipline. If it is to serve, these hands will serve. If I'm supposed to show compassion, these hands will show compassion. These hands are supposed to work hard. These hands are supposed to be diligent. These hands are not supposed to be used for sin. These hands are not supposed to be used to hurt people. It is to help people. But the word of God will remind me how to do it in the right way. Between the frontlet of your eyes is to make sure that you think, your mind is to think according to God's word. And so when they tie it there, you see it everywhere you look at yourself in the mirror. You can even feel that it's very bulgy. It's a big box. You can't miss it. And you tie it there, it's like somebody wearing a wristwatch. But this one is far more obvious. And they are very, very careful in binding it using the right kind of leather, right kind of material, because they are very, very serious. Now, of course, many of them today, if they do all these things, they are not born again because they rejected the key. They can unlock their understanding of the Old Testament. And the key is Jesus Christ. And unless they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, all the things that they do today that is according to the Old Testament will be in vain. Because salvation is not by doing Christian deeds. Same for us in the church. You will not find salvation by coming to church and doing all things that are Christian in nature. That's what they are trying to do in Israel, the Orthodox Jews who reject Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. But at this time, in this case, before the first coming of Christ, by doing all these things by faith, it will not be in vain. Because now they are doing it looking forward to the Savior. But after the Savior has come and you reject the Savior, doing all these things, looking forward to the second coming of the Savior will not help. It has to be looking forward to the first coming. Because looking forward to the second coming is incorrect, because the second coming of Christ is judgment, it's not salvation. The first coming of Christ is salvation, not judgment. That's why in the Old Testament they have to look forward to the first coming, that is the suffering Messiah, not the conquering Messiah, which is a judge. And so many of the Jews today are looking forward to the second coming, which is the conquering Messiah, and that's where many of them will get the shock of their lives. But in this case, it is a suffering Messiah whereby your hands have to be according to God's word. Your head has to think according to God's word. And when that is done, your responsibility to yourself is maintained. Maintain consistently, then your responsibility to the children. You please take note of the pronoun. And ye shall teach them, your children, alright, to your children. How to teach them? Speaking to them when they sit us in thy house, when they walk us by the way, when they lie us down, and when they rise us up. Is it they or thou? It's us. When the parents, not the children, when the parents are seated in the house, walking by the way, lying down and rising up, and then the parents are to write them upon the doorposts of their homes and upon their gates. So that when they leave the home as adults, when they grow up, they will never forget the word of God. The word of God is to be reminded everywhere you go. And the assumption is, when you sit in your house, they are with you. When you walk by the way, they are with you. When you lie down, they are with you. When you rise up, they are with you. That's the assumption, right? Because how else are you going to teach them when you are walking with them if they are not with you? You can't teach them when you are walking if they are not with you. So in other words, you have to spend time with them. Don't let them spend time with the gadgets. Don't use the gadget as a substitute for yourself. You have to instruct them. You have to teach them. And the Bible says, when you sit down in their home with them, that's the assumption. Instruct them by the way, in the way of God. In their homes, when they are seated down. Would you do that? Let them know the significance and the importance of the Word of God. So when you walk by the way with them, when they follow you, when you go to the farm, when you go to look at your flock, your sheep, when you do your things and they accompany you, they walk with you. You talk to them about God's Word. You share with them about God's Word, how important your life is. Share with them how God is working in your life. That the God of the Bible is real, is very personal to mom, to dad. Share with them that this is not just some heady knowledge. This is not just some words from an old book, but this book is alive. And mom and dad, we are living our lives in light of this book, and that's who we are, and that's how we have become, because of the Word. And we want you to be instructed in the Word of God. It is said that when a baby in a Jewish home is born, the book of the Bible that they will let them listen day in, day out. In the olden days, before there was this electronic tape recorder or CD, the parents will read out every day in the home the book of Proverbs, of course in Hebrew. Over and over again, all 31 chapters go round and round and round, so that the children will know from the book of Proverbs all the key wisdom that will help them deal with this sin-sick world. Because the book of Proverbs is designed for that purpose. With all the instruction that will cover business life, relationship life, strange women, simple men, everything covered, how to bring up children, how to understand husband-wife relationship, everything is inside that. That's why they did that. They know how wonderful that book is. And we can do the same. Teach your children. There is no part of your life when you do not teach your children. Now, lying down. Lying down means what? It could be when you're sleeping, or when you are resting, or when you are sick, isn't it? That's when you lie down. Either you lie down means you are sick, you are resting, or you are sleeping. So even when you are not well, let's say you are lying down because you are sick, you are still to teach your children how to react and respond when you are sick. Instruct them. And then when you get better, when you rise up from your bed, you also continue to teach them. When they are old enough to leave home, they are to be reminded when they leave home, the Word of God in the door. And then when they go out to the gate, also the Word of God is there. So they will never forget the Word of God. When they come home, the Word of God rules. When they go out, they are going out into a world that is dangerous. Remember, the Word of God will be the only tool that can give you the wisdom that will save your soul. Nothing else. Please understand, your maths will not help. Your science will not help. Your good English, your languages, all will not help them. Or you help them make money. But it will not protect their soul. Only the Word of God can. So responsibility to self, and then responsibility to our children, that's how you teach them, instruct them. You have to know the Word of God. Because if you don't know the Word of God, you are useless to your children. Do you know that? You can't protect them from the vices of the world. You read in the newspaper all the many different problems that we face in Singapore. Many of them come from people in high society, high power, very educated. Right? You know the lawyer, right? The professor of law? Who's supposed to what? Be convicted, he went to jail, and then the high court overturned the judgment. He fooled around with one of his students. And now he is found to be not guilty, but already spent don't know how many months in prison. And now is it NTU? Ask him, you want to come back and apply for a job? Fine, you can apply and see what happens. Because you may not be found a criminal, but ethically, morally, you have transgressed. And I was told that he has written a book on trust law, and it is supposed to be a book that the students will use to study the law on trust. Smart fella. But what happened? the moral of the person is practically zero. If what they said and reported in the newspaper is true of him, he is a terrible, terrible man. Got the student pregnant and then just simply brush her off and tell her to pay for her own abortion. And she did it. What kind of man would do such something so terrible? He is married with a child. And you do this to one of your own students. When you're supposed to help them, take care of them, you took advantage of them and you treated her so badly. The only protection for our children, dear friends, is the Word of God. And you better instruct them when they are young so that the Word of God will have a very strong foundation in their soul, in their heart. That's the only way. And to do that, you better be well equipped. You better have a system where you study the Word of God and understand it well so that you can impart it to your children. You have to. You cannot just simply, okay, now you have the Word of God with you. Here, this is your handphone. All right, mom and dad has already programmed the Bible Insight for you already. And you think that that is a good thing, isn't it? Right? So now my children are all very well protected because they have the Word of God with them in their pocket everywhere they go. So what? Now the Bible becomes a talisman? The Bible now becomes some kind of protection? Please, don't ever think that way. Don't even do it. They need the Word of God to be instructed, whereby everywhere, every part of their life must be according to God's Word. And to do that, you have to show it to them. You have to begin this process. But we have not been doing a start right now. Not too late. As long as the children are still living in your home, under your roof, the influence is still there. It may not be as 100% as you like when they were little boys, little girls. But as long as they are still living with you, it is not too late. You can still do whatever you can to turn the clock back a little bit, to start instructing them and telling them the importance of reading God's Word and to pray. Always pray for them. So responsibility number one to yourself, spiritually. Responsibility to your children, spiritually. According to God's Word. Know the Word of God, hide it in your own heart. Everywhere you go, however you live your life, make sure it is according to God's Word. Now you have the moral credibility to now impart it to your children. So when the children see your life, they know that mom and dad, they live the Word of God in their heart. And so when they instruct me, they have the moral authority to do so. But if you are a hypocrite, I think it is better for you to not teach the Word of God. Better. At least you don't let your children see that you are a hypocrite. The danger is when you don't obey the Word of God in your own life and you tell your children, please obey the Word of God, and the children see you as a hypocrite, they will despise Christianity. At least you are consistent. You don't obey God's Word in your home everywhere you go. Then the problem is, don't come to church, just stay home. Isn't it? Better still. Don't come to church, just stay home. Otherwise, you're going to leave behind a picture of hypocrites in the church. You know that somebody says that I don't want to come to Pandan because a lot of hypocrites. A lot of hypocrites. That should not be the case. That must never be. And now she thinks that Christianity is a religion for hypocrites. That is tragic, because that person now has thrown the baby out with the bathwater. She or he may have experienced some hypocrites, but that does not make everyone a hypocrite. But she is so bitter, she is so angry, but this is what is now the excuse for her not to come back to Pandan. No matter what the parents say, nope. She's so badly hurt and bitten by this bug called hypocrisy that she just simply brushed everyone off in the church. How to take this out of her head? Very hard. Very hard. And you and I know that there's not many churches that a person can go to that is sound, that is conservative, that is good for her, for him, the child. And the child is a grown person, working in the world, now making more and more money and then loving the world. And then using this as an excuse to give her so that she can continue to embrace the world and reject Christianity. And whenever the parents share with us, I can only keep quiet. Now I can only say, we'll pray for her. That's all we can do. What else can you do? What more can you do? She just simply won't want to talk. I said, can I talk to her? I said, it's up to her. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. So teach your children well by first taking care of your own spiritual life. And then verses 19 and 20. Every aspect of their lives, teach them to pray. When they do their homework, teach them to pray. When they are playing, teach them to pray. Teach them to obey God's word. Very important. Every part of their lives, let the word of God be very natural, very much part of our children's life from the moment they are born. But the word of God is something that is so comfortable. It's not something alien. It's not something that is not part of them. Like the hands, like the feet, like their body. Because mom and dad had already instilled that in them. That when they go to school, the word of God will continue to be their guide. Not the peer pressure from the friends who will force them, trick them, mock them into sinning, doing wrong things. Know the word, pass it on. And then finally, responsibility to our calling. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them. Staying in the land of promise requires disobedience. Why? Because when Israel stay in the land of promise, Israel will be shining forth the light of Christ as a witness to a world that is dying in sin. There is a purpose for Israel's existence. And that purpose is not only to be the nation through whom the Messiah will come, which is God's responsibility, but that Israel during this period is supposed to be the spiritual light that will shine forth the grace and the mercies of God that is working in the life of the people of Israel. And when they obey the word of God, that is exactly the kind of message that the world will see in Israel's life. Sabbath day, the whole nation will stop work. The whole nation will just simply rejoice and praise the Lord. Imagine how wonderful a message, where the surrounding nations, like the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, all of them, and they look at Israel, why is it that on the Sabbath day, when all of us are still working in our farm, taking care of our flock and all these things, when Israel, nobody is in the field, nobody is looking after their sheep, they are all praising the Lord, they are all spending time with their Lord. You know how wonderful it is for them to have this kind of rest days? That's the message they want them to see, that they are different. And then what food they can eat, what food they cannot eat to keep themselves holy, to practice biblical separation, to live a life that is separate and different from the rest of the world. Because that's who you are. You're supposed to be different. And you are different. And God says, when you live this way and you continue to be a holy people, the message that you send forth in this land as a nation, because without the land, they can't be a nation. God says, I will make sure that you remain in this land for a long, long time to come. And what will be your experience? God says, I will call this experience heaven on earth. And God says, you and I can have it too today in our homes. And I pray that you are doing it in your own home and in our church. This is my heart's desire as a pastor for the church. The people who come to this church, with the word of God being emphasized at all levels, from the children to the adults, where the word of God is followed and obeyed and taught, and the word of God is loved. This church, when people come in, it will be different. Last Sunday, I was just told by someone who was very surprised to be seated on the same row with a couple that was from their previous church. And this couple was from another BP church, and that BP church hates our church and thinks that we are all crazy people, extremists. And so when they were doing some renovation and they moved to this part, and then they came to our church and they were very surprised that we are not crazy. They came to our church and they worshiped with us. They heard the preaching, and they were invited to join us for Bible study, and they said they are interested. They said that we want the Word of God. We have been hungering for the Word of God, which we could not find in our church. And that's what heaven on earth is like, isn't it? Because in heaven, the Word of God is everywhere, because God is in control. And that's what heaven on earth is like. It's not just we all lovey-dovey, we all wear white, we all walk on tiptoe like wings on our back. And it's not like that. It's the place where the Word of God reigns, where the Word of God is loved, where the Word of God is obeyed, where the Word of God is taught, and the people love it. That's what heaven is like, where the Word of God rules. Right? That's the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, where the Word of God is always done and obeyed in heaven. God says, this can be in our church. This can be in our home as parents. And I hope that as Christian fathers and mothers, we will want this, beginning with our own children in our own home. And we want this in this church. And God willing, after the Lord takes us home, if the Lord tarries, we leave behind a church where our children will continue what we are doing right now, to create a church where it is, as what God says, like heaven on earth, where the Word of God is loved, obeyed, and taught. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the patience and the long-suffering that You have shown to all of us in teaching us, in dealing with us. For You know our heart's desire as Christian parents, as Christian adults in this church, that we may first allow the Word of God to be hidden in our hearts, to lay it in our heart and in our soul, to bind them in our hands and as frontlets in our eyes, that we may never forget the Word of everlasting life. And help us therefore then to teach our children, that our children may see Christ in us and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at the earliest age possible, that the Word of God will also be loved by them just as we love the Word of God and obey it. And we pray the same for the church, that people who come into this church may truly experience what's it like. For truly we can have, just as You promised Israel, a place on earth that is very much like heaven, where the Word of God reigns, where the will of God is done and obeyed by God's people. But this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, for our homes and for Thy church in Calvary Pandan. May Thou be merciful to use each and every adult in this church for this purpose and for this blessing. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.